Good evening, everyone. Happy quarantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Get the Fork Out. Today, we have the Lifetime Achievement Award winner through A Crew, Norma Treese. She's a very good friend of mine, and she's been in the industry from basically the beginning. She started as a yacht chef for 10 years, been all over the world, and then formed into a couple massive entrepreneurial things that we all know and love. Welcome to Get the Fork Out, Norma Treese.
Hey, Brennan. It's so good to be here with you. Am I on camera now?
You are on camera, yeah.
Oh, it's great to be here. I just love your blog. I think the name is great. And I've watched every episode. You have wonderful guests. And, you know, I'm so glad to see yet another example of fantastic, crew creativity and making the most of what you do while you're working on board. And that's really where I'm at, Brennan.
I'll take that. Thank you very much, Norma. Yeah, it means a lot coming from someone like you. I know a bunch of your story. But let's talk to the A Crew Lifetime Achievement Award, which, as I texted you that night, and we both know that you couldn't have been there for good reasons. But as I texted you that night, that's probably the most prestigious award of that award ceremony, I think.
Well, thank you so much for saying so, Brennan. I started out my yachting career learning to love how to sail when I was 14 years old in the Chesapeake Bay. And then I spent 10 years traveling the world as a yacht chef. And I've had a really long business career. And along the way, I've had so many friends. And you're a great one of them. And so the A Crew Award, which was voted upon by their 15,000 plus crew people, just meant more to me than, you know, just about anything else I've done. And I've done a lot in my life and in my yachting life. And so, you know, that's what made it even more special. But then when I get to share it with all of the other winners, can you imagine they had winners in 20 categories? And Brennan, I need to congratulate you because you, Brennan Dates, were named the best chef of the year of 2021 by A Crew. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to chuck in the chef award. The name best chef makes me cringe. Like it is just chef award. I'll take that. Gladly, and much love and respect to, and like you said before, it's your peers. So we both must be doing at least something right.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, if anybody had told me that 40 years later that I would still be in this business and still apparently contributing in some way, I never would have guessed it. I fell into professional yachting by total happenstance. And what a beautiful thing that was. I could never have dreamed, you know, I've been a writer most of my life. That's been a big part of my career. And I never could have written the novel of my life. Nobody would have believed it.
That's the best. What an amazing feeling. I have similar sentiments to my own. Just like, I think little childlike versions of ourselves would look at the adult versions and be like, never would have guessed. Never would have
absolutely
guessed.
Well, you know, Brennan, you're doing it the way it's supposed to be done. You know, you have I guess, what are you? You're a Gen X guy, I guess, right? And so one of those people that woke up that was born during, you know, since the age of the internet. And I just did a seminar with FedShip that just got off the line with that, which was absolutely fascinating. I mean, their series is the best, and they always have such interesting topics. And it was talking about futurism today. And one of the things that they talked about was that your generation and the generation that has followed, have grown up online, that one of the things that's important is to make sure that if you're looking towards a future and if you're looking towards business, to be involved in things like gaming and doing, you know, online. So Brennan, you're right on trend, buddy. It's a great thing.
Well, thanks. I had to do a little recollection. I'm actually older than Gen X. Like, so I don't know what was before me.
So they say up to age 43. So you're pretty close, Brennan. We'll give
right
it to you.
Right on the line. Yeah, 44. All right. The labels don't matter, but I hear you. And I think it's like, you should aim everything towards the future and online. I mean, we saw it with COVID and the pandemic. It's like, if you made a pivot towards anything online, you're looking pretty sweet for the future. It just pushed everyone into that corner.
Absolutely. You know, and it's absolutely amazing that you think of yachting as we know it. You know, you live aboard the boat, you travel with it, you know, you're in very close quarters, you know, you have guests that come from all over the world. A lot of those things haven't been possible in the last couple of years. And yet to see the incredible growth of the yachting industry throughout all of this,
yeah.
I mean, major, massive growth. The sales of yachts have gone through the roof. The jobs for crew have gone through the roof.
So
obviously that's one of the things I think that makes yachting so interesting, is that we're always at the forefront. Whether it is the actual technology to build the yachts, whether it is the incredible, art and creativity that's involved in it, whether it's staying on top of the business trends because of the people that we come in contact with. Brennan, a subject of interest to you and me is, you know, that the cuisine on board yachts has always been really important. And now the rest of the world has caught up with us. Isn't it great?
It is. Yeah, it is. It is really great. It's like food's come to the forefront of society. So my scope as a chef outside of yachting has been almost so 28 years of cooking. So to watch and to, I guess, cognizant of enough back then to record at least some of it to make comparisons now and see the timeline of the last 30 years of food, it's unbelievable. And yeah, a lot of that is a tribute to everyone's global food knowledge, so we can point fingers at food media, maybe starting in the US Food Network and things like that. And it's amazing because it's so much more fun to cook because people are a lot more interested. They're not asking for a boring shit all the time. They're actually asking for cool things and fun things that us chefs are happy to make rather than, you know, toasties and tomato soup. But I'll have so many more questions. And this is what I love about these podcasts is that like you can just naturally just talk. But I do kind of want to, as I have you on here as a guest, I want to focus on some of your achievements and some of the things that you started. And the reason I want to focus on that is to inspire either green crew or veteran crew to think outside the box, to kind of like get inspired to initiate their entrepreneurial goals and dreams. So you were a yacht chef for 10 years and then something. what inspired you to do what you did next, which I know what it is, but just tell us.
Well, back when I worked on yachts, I worked on sailing boats and motor yachts. I did a lot of traveling, which back in those days was, you know, a little bit outside of the norm. I was very lucky. Having grown up in Europe, I speak several languages and that allowed people to invite me to go to Europe and other places when, you know, Americans were virtually unknown in the international yachting world. So anyway, having done that for a really long time and having had a lot of friends and, you know, boyfriends in different ports and stuff, I became aware of the fact that I wanted to have another steady love life. You know, my first boyfriend in high school I had for years. And, you know, I've always been a steady Eddie with all of my relationships, including my relationship with the yachting world. So I decided to move home to Fort Lauderdale, where my sister and I had a house. And I didn't know how to do anything except, you know, communicate with my friends. And back in those days, that was letters and phone calls. And so I started a crew agency in Fort Lauderdale, literally because I had been treated poorly by another one that tried to get me to do something that I considered a little bit unethical. And so I started.
I didn't know that part of your story. That sounds exactly like the Norma that I know. Like, oh yeah, I'll do it myself then. Great.
Literally, had I known, I had $22,000 saved from my last season on board a brand new 100-foot Hatteras, which I thought was kind of the cat's meow, perfect lady. And so fortunately, I didn't know how woefully underfunded I was. I didn't know how ignorant I was. And a yacht chef friend of mine and I decided to start what we called Worldwide Yachting Services. And the tag name for that was the Crew Network. And lo and behold, 7 years later, I had established offices in various different places. The first one was in Antibes, which has been my French second home for more than 20 years. And, you know, in New Zealand and a bunch of other places. And that was great. And a Fraser Yachts comes along and taps on my door and says, we'd like to buy your company. And I was like, oh, no, nobody wants to buy, you know, crew agencies, you know, they don't have any value. And they said, yeah, we do. We want, you know, not just your company, but, you know, we just want to buy what you've built and everything. And that was the first of the yachting services businesses to sell. And that started an absolute avalanche. Nowadays, it's very common. So many businesses are bought and sold. It's amazing. I mean, you know, little did I know, but what we thought was very creative at the time, what that would turn
You're
out
a pioneer.
To mean. Well, that was Carlo Agliardi that came up with that idea. But, you know, I went along with it. And just the negotiation process and everything was super important to me. So anyway, while I owned Crew Network, I needed a way to promote my company and I couldn't afford advertising. So I started writing articles for yachting magazines. And there weren't that many at that point. And excuse me. And can you see me still? There we go.
You're back.
And
you're back.
So anyway... one of them had just started and it was a little tiny newspaper. It was called Dock Walk. So I became one of the founding editors of Dock Walk. And I spent 5 years with them. It was wonderful. I was an international editor. And so what I've done for every magazine and media outlet that I've worked with ever since then, and that's that I cover the people and the events of yachting. So I'll get into that more. But anyway, Greg Mullen, the owner of Dock Walk, we were able to negotiate. And it was kind of a bidding war between different media groups that wanted it. And Boat International bought it and has done a fantastic job ever since. And so then I went on to join the Yacht Report Group and started the Crew Report for them and so on and so forth. And have had a myriad of business consultancy positions. My first one was with FedShip because I'd worked on several FedShips. And I started speaking for them at their captains conferences. And they said, hey, you know, you help us so much. We'll actually pay you for this. And I was like, wow, what a great idea. And since then, I've consulted on so many different types of businesses and helped, I think, kind of identify you know, what's important to crew people. So as I said in my speech at A Crew the other day, you know, those have been included really important things like remote telemedicine, crew insurance, yacht insurance in general. I helped build the fantastic marina Port Vale in Barcelona. You know, you and I were there together. We had Thanksgiving in my beautiful apartment there. And isn't it great? I mean, the joy of yachting, that's it for you right there. You know, that's what's really important is the fact that all of the communications and the people and your knowledge and your relationships can be translated into business success. I mean, it's phenomenal. There's just not that many industries,
right
I think,
there.
In the world, you know, where that's possible. And the great thing about yachting
let me pause you right there, because that's the hook. You know, that is the hook of, well, of your hit song. It's like that's what I wanted the crew members to hear. Like, it's all transferable. You just gotta take the first couple steps in the right direction. And
I tell you,
scary.
The problem with yachting is that you know what they say, it's a lifestyle, it's not a career. Well, that's never been truer than it is of the yachting world.
All right, we're back, everyone, after some massive technical difficulties. Norma's back, and I might get rained on, so we're going to continue until...
That's okay, I might get rained on, too. That's why I had to come inside.
But we were talking about how, you know, that connectivity in this business, and you had a really good point about yachting is a lifestyle, not a career. Can you pick up where you left off on that sentiment?
Well, you know, traditional yachting was something that was reserved for people who had done it for generations. And I think that longevity and that devotion and that love of yachting is something that's really important, because whether you're a crew person or whether you're an owner or whether you're a designer or whether you're a crew agent, whatever you are, you know, what's important is to honor the industry and, you know, and understand where it's coming from. Because as my old friend Jane Buffington said years ago, nobody needs to own a yacht. You have to want to own a yacht. And our job is to make people want to own yachts. And so the more we understand it, the better.
I like it.
Sorry if I'm fiddling around. I'm still trying to get my my camera
That's
angle
all right.
right here.
That's all right.
I've got quite a construction going on. So anyway, Brennan, the point is that yachting being that it's constantly evolving, our principals, our owners, the people that own the largest businesses in yachting, are international businessmen of the highest stature, businessmen and women. Uh-huh. And we can learn so much, and they expect so much. You know, they want the latest and greatest in everything. And our job in everybody in yachting is to provide that to them. And so what that offers is constantly opening doors. So if you want a career that can last for a long time, yachting offers not only a great diversity of opportunities, but it offers constantly evolving new opportunities, because we are literally at the pointy edge of everything that's happening, including the fact, we were talking earlier about generations, Gen X's and everything else. That's the greatest majority of the people in the world today. And those are all the new owners that are out there. So just think, you know, everything that you've learned through your life, all of us, has application to one type of business or one opportunity that the yachting world offers. And you just have to take advantage of it.
Yeah. And be open to seeking it out, or just having it come across you and be like, that actually might be a good opportunity. I should think about taking that.
What can I contribute? What can I bring to this picture? You know, for instance, Brennan, you and I were talking about, you know, our shared love of cooking and what it can do for you career-wise. Obviously, everybody is a chef these days and everybody is totally into it. You know, I've been able to, you know, parlay it into throwing parties all over the world and having a really interesting, diverse business career. And you're parlaying it into what we're doing here today. So those are really small examples. But, you know, I could go on and on and on talking about what the yachting community has been able to offer in terms of opportunity. I mean, the businesses that have been created and are still being created, it's so interesting.
And
that's one of the things that I love about it. And so, you know, a lot of crew people today say, oh, you know, I guess they've always said, this isn't for me. I wanted to have family and I wanted to have a home life. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, if you put your time in into yachting, whether it's through education, whether it's working on board, you can have just an unbelievable long career and still do something which to me is one of the most important things in life. And that is have a lot of fun and have a lot of friends along the way, because, you know, yachting is all about people, isn't it?
It really is. I had a captain, he probably won't mind me saying his name, but I won't anyway. But he was all like, yachting is all about relationships. It just really is. And it's about like, it isn't even like about the being the best or so-and-so's the best. It's about opportunities and relationships. And you can be perfectly qualified or overqualified and just not have a good relationship. So a good opportunity turns sour, and vice versa, where it really is interpersonal skills. It's massive. It's probably one of the biggest things. We work in such close quarters together. But I really like you using the term parlay in terms of, it's a small word, but I think it takes a little bit of like courage and just seeing that opportunity or getting an idea and be like, all right, I'm going to start moving in that direction. And I think that's one of the biggest things, probably one of the biggest words that has happened to you, I guess. Your definition is that you've been able to change your career completely from cooking to building marinas in Barcelona, being from Fort Lauderdale. Like, it's pretty impressive. And I know there's a ton of steps before that and a ton of steps after that. But I do think, that A Crew Award, Lifetime Achievement Award was well-deserved. And the things you've done, you haven't mentioned like half of the stuff that, you know, like seakeepers, well, yachting, using yachting for good. Like, there's many other things that you haven't touched on yet. That's the depth and the breadth of you and your time in yachting. So that's, I have my, well, you know, that's, have you on as a guest.
Oh, thank you, Brennan. I'm telling friends. You, this is such a pleasure. It really is. You know, if there's one thing that the last couple of years have taught us, it is the value of communicating in this manner. And so again, I think it's important. You actually touched on something that's really important to me. And that is, kind of general attitude of philanthropy and giving back. And I think, you know, I've been accused of being very Pollyanna-ish many times, of thinking that things are too good and, you know, life is, you know, lollipops and sunbeams. I don't know. In many ways, it is. But the reality is whether we are the people who are making these things happen, the owners and the builders and the brokers, or whether we are the people that are supplying whatever it is, or whether we are actually yacht crew, or whether we're business people, we are in a privileged situation. And we have an opportunity to work in an industry that is so wonderful, but also incredibly fragile. And one of the things that's the most fragile about it, of course, is the oceans that our yachts ply. And there's so many ways in which one can give back to the world around you. And that's one of the things I love about what A-Crew has done, is that they have recognized environmental achievements, humanitarian
Mark
achievements.
Drulo, a nominated.
Yes, Mark Drulo, Yachty Global.
So stoked.
You know, I've been a supporter of Yachty Global for over 10 years. I was the first person that joined the board of directors, invited by Captain Mark Drulo. I knew him back when he was a yacht captain on Dorotea. And as they were traveling the world, he had an ambassador as an owner. And they were starting to do humanitarian work way back then. So that's over 20 years.
Well, and, I met him briefly at the same time in San Diego.
And his crew, and Eduardo Garcia was the chef on there.
There you go. See? and, you know, and what Mark has done to have created his business, C2C, based out of San Diego, of course, started a beautiful family. And the humanitarian work that Yachty Global has done over the last 10 years has been absolutely phenomenal. You know, it comes and goes. We've been able to respond a lot more actively to some events than others, you know, including, you know, what I do mainly is spreading the word and fundraising and communications. And, you know, we have been able to work through the yachting community to raise the funds to put together what is needed to help people in dire distress, primarily from hurricane effect, a lot of it in the Caribbean. But we also have a lot of ongoing things, education. You know, we teach swimming in the Yucatan, and it goes on and on. So
I think that's really important.
Heartwarming stories, like through Yachty Global, where, you know, I think they went to Vanuatu with just a ton of supplies after some sort of natural disaster happened there. And they're just like, they seem to be like, it's them and Pacific Hope that are on the front lines of this industry actually giving back. Like
we don't give back, but like on the front lines of natural disaster where people are really screwed, like they're without water. And I don't know if you can get more screwed than being without water.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, Vanuatu was certainly, the cyclone relief was one of the first really, really major activities for Yachty Global.
Some of the owners, you know, and stood up and be like, yeah, fill my boat full of stuff. Send it over there. And that's what we need.
Well, and in today's world, Yachty Global has taken the next step up as a not-for-profit, as a humanitarian organization. And we work primarily with other NGOs in areas of need, and to be able to pinpoint and recommend exactly the best method of delivery for whatever humanitarian need that it is. Sometimes it's taking yachts there. You know, in Vanuatu, you know, for instance, they were able to actually make water on board and give it to the people there. And, you know, in the Bahamas, you know, with Hurricane Dorian, we were actually able to help evacuate people. So we helped in a greater group with a lot of other NGOs and a lot of groups that we specifically work with. You know, we were able to help, you know, evacuate almost 4,000 people. So it's whatever it needs. And Yachty Global is great. And one of the reasons why I love it, of course, is because it was started by a yacht captain. And again, that's another great example of, you know, an activity that is needed, timely, you know, important, and shows the capability and the heart of the yacht community in its entirety. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, and of course there's so many others as well. I've been involved with the Sea Keepers for a very long time. I'm on their honorary committee of women, which kind of sounds a little bit sexist, but the reality is that we, you know, that we organize events and activities specifically for.
I don't think it sounds sexist. It's needed.
No, like, it's not limiting. I can tell you that because the women the women that support Sea Keepers are just phenomenal. And again, that's another cross section. That's everything from female captains, people in business, scientists, researchers, cinematographers.
Sea Keepers is huge.
Yeah, Sea Keepers is absolutely fantastic. I love what they do, you know, and they're involved in a different kind of philanthropy. They do scientific research. Primarily, they do, direct activities like cleaning beaches and tagging sharks. Yeah. And it's a phenomenon. And of course, you know, the Sea Keepers themselves, which are monitoring devices that can go on yachts that are traveling places that a lot of other vessels don't go. So the amount of information that comes back out of them is super. It's probably more than you want to know. But for instance,
I love all this stuff.
My favorite statistic about the International Sea Keepers Society that I think says it all, and that is that apparently, you know, the information that they can send back about water conditions and waves and wind, wherever it is that they are, goes directly back to NOAA and the Scripps Oceanographic Institute. I hope I got that right, but you know, large institutions of greater learning, and they supply something about 2% of the world's meteorological data.
Now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, we think cooking is something that everybody loves, but if the number one topic in the world, which is weather, and even more important today, is supplied by Sea Keepers, that gives you an idea of the fact that, yachting is extremely relevant in so many ways.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the pointy end of the spear, pushing technologies forward and pushing travel forward and opening up new places of just kind of like research through Sea Keepers, and it's a step in the right direction. We can always do more. I mean, we always have to strive to do more, but it is a step in the right direction. All these things, but
it absolutely is. And to be in a position, as a person who's dedicated a large part of my life to the yachting industry, to see that. Yachting has been able to step forward in that super important arena of giving back to the world around us, of helping save, Mother Ocean. We wouldn't have yachting if it wasn't for that.
It's every strata of yachting too. Like, I don't know where the bottom would be, but let's say, it could be anywhere from junior crew members all the way
up. And those opportunities
to businesses and owners supporting the same concepts, the same goals of like, let's do something, let's get back. It's massive. And it's every part of the whole industry. It's not just the bottom, it's not just the top. It needs all of us.
Now, I think that's hugely important. And I do believe that yachting is moving further and further in that direction. I told you the reason why we were a little bit delayed today is because I was on a seminar with FedShip that FedShip. I continue to support, and their unique series is absolutely incredible. And one of the things that they talked about with their Super Yacht Life Foundation that is involved in a wide variety of philanthropic work, and to see, talk about the pinnacle of the industry, one of the very most respected of builders in the world. I can't say the most, but certainly one of them takes that so seriously. Again, shows you that when it comes to pinpointing where it's at in business and in life and translating that into the yacht world, FedShip is a great example of the fact that philanthropy is something that we should all be involved in.
Yeah, I agree. You know more about what they do than I do, but they are always making the move with yachts to make them more eco-friendly, to make them more, less impact, less carbon footprint. Like, I know there's other companies that do it, but I think it's really hard for those ones at the top to do it. And I see them trying at least to, you know, varying degrees of success, which I can't comment on. I have no idea, but it can't be easy to change a very successful business model in favor of the environment. It just can't.
Hey, well, Brendan, you know, we're talking about careers here. And one of the things that I've found really interesting that you've been able to do in your career, I think goes back to this entire discussion. You know, you've taken your chef's career and taken it to the next level. You know, we're talking about builders and actually designing galleys and working areas on yachts. Yeah. I think that's a fantastic example of talk about taking your practical application and turning it into, you know, a bigger and potentially much longer term career. Fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be able to do this, to have these conversations, to do YouTube and, you know, help people learn how to cook. But then maybe as my main source of income and kind of excitement is to, in my own very small way, make the industry slightly better. Like for whatever reasons, I'm not sure why, but crew aren't that involved in new builds. And it's especially in the service areas. Like I've got a few pitches, you know, a few things I've hit on that I've kind of like honed in. One of them is like, you know, we're not in the transportation business. We never have been. We've always been in the hospitality business, which they need service areas. So why aren't the nice folks that do service build the service areas? That way they can be good for the next group. So that's one of my pitches. I won't go into too much of that business idea now, but no, I'm really excited. I think it's a worthwhile cause. And yeah, I've no interest in leaving this industry. It's awesome. It's afforded me an incredible lifestyle, both at work and then, you know, motorcycle ride around the world and immersing myself in cultures and food and education, just as much food as I can eat, as much information as I can pack into my brain. It has made me different. And I think it's made me better in ways I won't be able to realize until I'm like 70, I don't think. But yeah.
Well, you know, actually, Brendan, that brings up a good point. And that is, you know, some of your fellow chefs and some of your fellow crew, and, you know, I don't know who's going to be listening to this, you know, might be interested to think about how they can take their own, you know, their avocation, their love of yachting or cooking or engineering or beautiful table settings
or
driving boats. And turn it into a vocation. And I think within the sphere of yachting, one thing that's super important, and if anybody's looking for advice, a piece of advice I'd like to give everybody, no matter what you do, but in the yachting industry especially, and that is communicate with those that are around you, learn from them and value everything that you can learn from other people, and make sure that you can take that and help identify your own interests. And as I've said many times, the yachting world offers so many different types of opportunities. You can create what you want to do based on what you're interested in. But you know, in order to do that, you know, you have to make the connections with like-minded people, and you have to surround yourself with excellence, and you know, you have to continue to appreciate the forward movement of yachting. It's like driving a boat. You know, they say you have to have some way on to really drive it better, and motorcycles and everything else. In terms of your own career in the yachting industry, it's the same thing. You know, you got to be, you have to drive that ship yourself. And fortunately, you know, there's so many different places you can take it. If that's not too you know, complicated, an analogy of what you can do with a career in yachting. And, you know, I got to say, oh my God, I've been the luckiest person in the whole wide world. You know, I traveled the world working on yachts, but even more so, I've traveled the world ever since. You know, I've sailed on some of the largest sailboats in the world in fantastic regattas and won. I've been able to drink champagne with billionaires. I've been able to judge chef competitions in various different places. I've been able to see some of the most beautiful ports and oceans that our world has to offer. And I never would have been able to do that if it wasn't for the yachting world. So I'm telling you,
yeah,
It's a beautiful thing.
No, it really is. And to your point about momentum and making way, I think for some of the, like maybe the junior crew listening, is that you need, you know, maybe 3-5 years of perspective to understand and pay a little bit of attention about the growth that's happening around you. Because, and I wanted to touch on this earlier with you, because we've seen the industry go through the pandemic to whatever facet we're through it or not, no one knows. But then we also saw the same industry go through the financial collapse. And that was the first time that I realized, like, okay, this industry, I thought it was fragile. I think it's actually quite rugged. Like, it seems to be that the industry can pivot just as fast as wealthy people can figure out the next move. And some people can and some people can't. And I think there's a changing of wealth going on now. And as there was back then, you saw some, you know, some boats change the dock, and you saw other owners just building a second one or buying a bigger one just immediately. So it was interesting. I would like to hear your perspective on that, in terms of, that's two instances of really kind of financial disarray globally and how the industry went through it.
Well, yes, I think you're correct to question whether the industry is fragile or not, Brennan. I can tell you that when I started Crew Network, we had just gone through a very severe financial correction. And, you know, that did a lot of damage to what at that point was, you know, kind of the American yachting market, which was everything, you know, all these guys that, you know, that had fun and played poker together, you know, the Jimmy Deans of this world and all of them. And, you know, in terms of my business, it was great, because if you start a business when, you know, financial situations aren't good, you only have one way to go, and that's up.
Yeah, no,
and it is true.
Churchill said, like, what's the best time to buy is when there's blood on the street or something like that.
Totally. And look at Russia. I mean, look at the creation of wealth there. That's a very good example. And the reality is that we've all seen all kinds of different crises hit the yachting world, you know, whether it's the worldwide fuel crisis and various financial issues. Nowadays, of course, you know, ever since 9/11, we've had an increase of concern about security and terrorism. And now we've got a pandemic, a global pandemic, which none of us had ever seen before. And you're right, the yachting industry has carried on. And so that's the beauty, because it's an industry at will, because you don't have to own a yacht. But if you want to, you're going to figure out a way that you can carry on what you love. And I think that again is really the key of what has been the survival of the yachting industry, because it's an industry that's centered around the love of the sea, the love of technology. In today's world, you know, the love of showing off too.
Well, yeah, the love of travel. Yeah, showing off for sure for some of them.
And the love of food.
Yeah, and being wined and dined. I think
yes, being served, being taken care of, and I think that we all like that, you know, whether we're doing it in our own homes or, you know, whether we're fortunate enough to be. Absolutely. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to going back on my next yacht as a guest or as a judge.
Oh yeah.
It's going to happen. Actually, I did. I went to my first charter show last week here in Fort Lauderdale.
All right.
It was such a treat, you know, to see people that you knew. Yeah. In my case, you know, friends I'd known for decades, you know, to be aboard a yacht, you know, and when you go to too many charter shows, you say you never want to eat another hors d'oeuvre again. Well, I'm telling you something. I was so looking forward to
it. You missed the hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. Give me something in a cone. I miss them.
And it's coming back to life. The yachting world, again, has shown its resilience. It might be fragile, and it might be something that's a toy, you know, the most expensive toy in the world. But it's come back. You know, the Monaco Yacht Show.
I was there,
the Crew Awards.
But, like, I thought it was fragile, because it seems like it would be fragile. It's a very expensive industry, very top-heavy. But it's in my recent experience in the last 20 years of being in it, she can take a hit and just keep going. Like, it's pretty incredible. So just my observation.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, but, you know, as we've been discussing all the way throughout here, the world is changing. Generations are changing. People are getting younger. But one thing that is not changing is the creation of billionaires. More and more and more. And as a population, you know, they may not be traditional. They may not be conservative. They may not be used to be old, male, and white. Thank God that's all changed. There's every variety of yacht ownership possible. We are seeing the change of the world in our population of yacht owners. And let's face it, if we don't have them, the rest of us can, you know, say sayonara and go do something else.
Go do something else. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you can do a lot of other things too if you start out in yachting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, we've got a whole new market up ahead of us. So I don't see any reason why yachting should not continue to evolve and grow and offer what it does to the rest of the world. Everybody knows what a yacht is now. It's not just because of, you know, reality television, but, you know, you see them in movies, you see them in television commercials, you hear it on the news, you know, so we need to translate that feel good into knowledge of what kind of opportunities you can have, because just like everybody else in the world, we're facing such a severe shortage of yacht crew, of people to work in shipyards, of designers, of engineers, of chefs. So we all need to be in the game of trying to continue to develop ourselves as an industry. As I said, whether you're working on a yacht or whether you're building a yacht or anything in between and associated with it, let's keep them coming. So, you know, Brennan, are you going to have children anytime soon?
I haven't had a girlfriend in like 4 years, so I need to start there first, I feel like, unless I'm gonna just adopt one and just have it on the back of my motorcycle, which is probably not responsible fatherhood.
Exactly. But you know, can I say something?
Sure.
You know, in my almost 40 years in the yachting industry, I have to say that one of the things that still gives me just absolutely enormous pleasure is when I see people that are captains of large yachts or running businesses or showing off their new babies when they come to me and they say, you know, Norma, you got me my first job on a yacht and I've never forgotten that. And thank you so much for everything it's done for me. I'm telling you, it's so heartwarming, Brennan, to see physically the generations in yachting as well. So
people grow.
I just hope I can be there to see more and more of them.
Oh yeah. I think we both will, Norm. I don't think either one of us is going anywhere anytime soon here. But I just think it's just when you're talking about reminiscing and going to boat shows, this is going to relate to your point, and just seeing friends you haven't seen in so long. And it's like, oh man, that would be heartbreaking to leave that industry and leave those relationships, you know, like, it just like to go and walk around and just see a really old friend that you went through some hectic circumstances together on a back-to-back charter boat, or you took on bad fuel in Nicaragua and you just had to pump it out like into buckets and then get to a dock and get rid of it. Like all these stories that you and I both have from our time yachting, it just connects us. Like it's just good relationships with these wonderful people that you haven't seen in ages. And that's what that
absolutely
kind of that eight
I agree with you
was. And just being in Barcelona, and it's just people are just around and it's fun, and it's a really good industry. So I think we both advocated the industry enough. I know you also have to be somewhere just after this, so yeah, why don't we say goodbye and thanks for coming on Get the Fork Out. Really appreciate you, Norman. I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, it's great, Brennan. I am so happy to be a guest on Get the Fork Out. I love the name of your blog. And nice. And I just want to say one other thing. And that is, you know, if you're working on a yacht, Brennan, you know better than I do because it's been a while for me. But, you know, I talk to a lot of people. Let's face it, it's hard. It's not easy. You're jammed up with a lot of other people. You know, it's very dehumanizing. You're eating you know, the food that somebody else decides the menu for, you're wearing clothes that somebody else chooses for you. You might not be able to go home for Christmas or you know, your sister's wedding.
All true.
You know, your boat might be sold and you might lose the family that you have on board. But the reality, as you just said, is another one of the things that's beautiful about yachting is that no matter where you go, if you've been in it long enough, you're going to have friends in every port, and you're going to have connections, and you're going to have opportunities everywhere you go. So that's something that, you know, we have to be a little crazy to work in yachting, but that craziness can translate to really wonderful things all over the world. And I sure hope that I get the opportunity to meet a whole lot more people that can tell me their stories on down the road.
Oh, you will, Norma. You have one of those personalities. You definitely do. It's amazing. And to know you after all these years, like 20 years, I think we've known each other. No, maybe let's call it 15, I think.
It's been a long time. We met in the cruise quarters on board one of your yachts. And we were introduced by the fantastic Captain Phil Walsh, weren't we?
No, I think we met at Starbucks because I got back from my fundraiser for Parkinson's disease. And someone had told you about me.
Oh, I wrote a story about you. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we met at Starbucks.
Yeah, that was for the crew report.
Yep, definitely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, well, listen, Brendan, thank you so much. Listen, I really appreciate it. I wish you and Get the Fork Out a lot of success. You know, you're always welcome here in Fort Lauderdale. You got your little cottage waiting for you.
Thanks, Norma. Congratulations again on the award.
Thank you. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to you on your award. What a pleasure to share an honor. Voted upon again by A Crew and their 15,000 crew people worldwide. I love it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Sounds great.
That's gonna be,
love you too, Brendan.
Everyone, thank you for watching this episode of Get the Fork Out with Norma Treese. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.